So homework, we're opening up today, week one, and I'm very excited. So we're gonna be talking a lot about family. Next week, my wife, Mandy, and I are gonna be team teaching on marriage. So make sure you're back next week. But if we're gonna be preaching on family for the whole series, I wanna show you a picture of my family. So we went on a cruise about a month ago. So this is the, you know, the cruise picture that you have to take. So it's just the latest picture of our family. They're all changing their hair color all the time. So I was trying to get, this is the most recent photo of our family. So I wanna just show you who they are. My wife, Mandy, and then my oldest daughter, Avery, is down here on the bottom left. She is turning 21 in October. I cannot believe it. She oversees our young adult worship here at the church. Our 19-year-old son, Aiden, wow, 19-year-old son, Aiden, he is awesome, and he oversees our middle school ministry here at the church. And then Asher is 15 in the top right, and he wants to oversee something at our church. But doesn't yet, but he's awesome and just so talented in worship. And you'll see him playing the drums here every once in a while. And then Aslan is our 10-year-old, 10 going on 30-year-old. Every family has one of those too, right? And so they're great, they're awesome. If you see them around the church, that's my family. Can you give them a round of applause? I love my family. So I'll be telling a lot of stories about them. I'm sure they'll love that. But it'll be a fun series. So in order to start off a series on family, we're gonna be looking at the culture of the home today. What should the culture of a godly home look like? And so to start out looking at an entire series on the family or what a culture of the home should look like, we need to start with God's design for family. What is God's design for family? So I'm going to go through a few scriptures here. And if you want to take notes, just jot the references down. And I think this would be a great study for you to do more in depth later on. But as we start this, I want to look right off the bat at our first scripture here, Mark 10, 6 through 8. This is Jesus talking. And here's what he says. But from the beginning of creation, God made them what? Male and God made them male and female. I am not gonna go off on a tangent here, but this is so unbelievably important in our society. This is the building blocks of family, of everything society stands on, and what God wants the home to rest on is that he made us male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother to establish a what? A home with his wife, and the two shall become what? We'll talk a lot about that next week. Flesh, so that they are no longer two, but they are united as one flesh. So this is kind of the umbrella. God's design for family starts with a man and a woman in marriage. In marriage, okay? Man and a woman in marriage. Our next scripture here is Psalm 127:3. This has to do with kids being a gift from God. So children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. Now, whether or not you say an amen will determine how bad your kids were this morning. Are they a gift from the Lord? Yes, kids are a gift from the Lord. You're like, not my kid right now. But kids are a gift from the Lord. So what God is establishing is this. The home, God's design for family, is the home is a man and a woman in marriage. And God also in Genesis says to be fruitful and multiply. And children are a gift from God that we treat like a precious gift from God, right? Then we go to Deuteronomy 6 and it tells us what to do with our kids in the home. You must love him. This is talking about God. You must love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. And you must think constantly about these commandments I'm giving to you today. You must teach them to your children and talk about them when you are at home or out for a walk, at bedtime, and the first thing in the morning. I love this passage because it can be worded different ways in different translations. But what this is telling us is this. Godly parents organically throughout the day at different times will talk about the ways of God. We'll talk about the things of God, how good God is at age-appropriate levels. If your little bitty toddler is looking out the window and says, Mommy, the sky is blue. And you go, isn't God so great that he can create all of this? Like little things like that, where we're talking about the commands of God, loving God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. And then we can go to Ephesians chapter 6, and this tells us what kids' response is supposed to be in the home. So all kids, if you're in here, middle schoolers and high schoolers, listen up. Your parents are gonna like me for this one. Children, obey your parents. All the parents said a good amen. Amen. In the Lord, accept their guidance and discipline as his representatives. For this is right. For obedience teaches wisdom and self-discipline. Honor, esteem, and value your father and your mother, and be respectful to them. This is the first commandment with a what? Promise. This is the first commandment with a promise. This is a big deal. What's the promise? So that it may be well with you and that you may have a long life on the earth. I remember when I was younger, especially middle school and high school, when I was disobeying my mom, she would say, "Do you want a long life?" And I would go, "Well, yeah." And she goes, "Because you're on your way to a real short one, buddy." Because if you don't obey, this is the promise. Honestly, this is what's interesting. So much of life, our enjoyment later on, teenagers, listen to me. So much of the freedom you will experience later on in life or bondage will be dependent on what kind of seeds you're sowing today. All seed produces fruit. What fruit will you be reaping in your 30s and 40s because of what you planted in your teens and 20s? It's a very big deal when we look at this. So God's design for family. Okay, so here are the building blocks of the home and society as a whole based on those passages. When we look at the building blocks of the home and society, the first one is authority. In those passages I read, God wants to establish authority in the home. The mom and the dad, authority in the home, right? Then after that, he wants to establish honor in the home or obedience. He wants there to be a culture of honor and respect. It is mind-blowing how little or how much honor is decreasing in our society. There isn't this obedience. We were at a baggage claim. We traveled this week, and when we landed in Columbus, Ohio for this competition, there was a dad waiting to get his suitcase off of the luggage carousel, and his son was right up against it. So his dad's standing back, and he names his son. I think it was Charlie. "Charlie, come back." I don't know the guy, so I'm not like calling him out or anything. "Charlie, come over here." And he's probably 5 or 6, and the kid just looks back at his dad and goes, "No." And the dad goes, "Charlie, we've talked about this. Charlie, would you please come over here?" And the kid just goes, "No." And the dad just has this conversation. Guys, it took every fiber in my being not to go, "Get your butt back to your dad right now. I can't stand that. I can't stand the whole coddling. Can we have a long, drawn-out conversation in front of everyone about how you don't know how to obey and honor and respect?" Don't be that parent. Don't be that parent. We need to teach honor and respect in the home. I knew that would get an applause. Maybe not at youth ministry, but here I knew you guys would like me. All right, number 3, love, culture of love. These are the building blocks of the home and society as a whole. Love, this is what happens. There has to be a culture of, even when there's discipline, right? You can be mad, discipline, but there's a culture of love. I'm not disciplining you out of punishment. This is discipline because I love you and want to see you grow and contribute to society and love God and one day be a great mom and a great dad. There has to be love in the home. Now, what's interesting, and the reason I put society, is this: what God established for the home, if we get it right, society needs those 3 things as well. And the only way society will flourish is if homes flourish. The reason why there's no respect for authority in society is because we're losing respect for authority in the home. The reason why there isn't a culture of true biblical love in society is because we're losing it in the home. These are the building blocks of the home and society based on God's definition. So here, I kind of made this big definition of what God's definition of family is, and I want them to put that up here. I know it's long. Maybe you can take a photo. I don't know. I was writing this and I was like, this is a note taker's nightmare because I like taking notes and I'm like, well, forget it. I'll just take a picture. So if you want to, here's God's definition of family. Family is a sacred institution established by God to be the foundation of society and the primary place for spiritual growth and character development. Marriage is viewed is viewed as a covenant between a man and a woman, and children are seen as precious, as a precious gift from God. Now that's God's bullseye design for family. But what do we know? We know this. We live in a broken world. We live in a world where God's perfect design for family, even in this auditorium, statistics would say that fewer than more actually would have something different than that design right now, as far as divorce, single parents, single moms in the rooms, single fathers in the rooms. There's been abandonment and abuse and separations and divorce. And there are people heartbroken today. And it even took everything in you to come to church today because you knew we're doing a series on family. But I want to tell you something. I'm not a pastor who is telling you this not from experience. Man, if you don't know our story, Mandy and I are going to share in detail next week. But when I met Mandy, she was a single mom of three kids. And I'll tell you this, Satan's aim in this world is to break, but God's aim is to restore. And so we need to have a culture of restoration when the world is developing a culture of brokenness. So whatever your starting point is today, just for a moment, can I take my pastoring shepherd hat off and can I put the coach's hat on just for a second? Whatever your starting point is today, don't have a pity party. Sit up straight. Take it in, get excited about what God can do in your future. If you're a single mom, look into the horizon and say, this church family is amazing. God, it can step in any possible way, whether there's a future husband or not. I will be great. My kids are gonna be fine. They're gonna be raised in the house of God. Whatever your current situation is, just say, God, you are above it. You're better than it. And I'm gonna start today to aim toward your design for family. All right, you guys still with me? All right. So we're doing a series about family because we understand the power of family. This is important to note too. We do not idolize family, but we can't ignore the power of it. We can't slip into the Americanized, idolizing family mentality. There are too many people who put their kids in the center of their universe above their marriage. I have seen it happen over and over and over again. That when kids are gone and the parents are empty nesters, what's left of a marriage if the kids took all of the time and energy? We're gonna be looking at God's priorities starting next week with that. But guys, I'm telling you, we can't idolize it, but we can't ignore the power of it either. It's not ultimate. It's not ultimate, but it is a huge priority of God. All right? So, when you think about family, the truth is nothing has shaped you more profoundly than the family you grew up in. It shaped a lot of how you think, how you resolve conflict, how you view the world, how you view politics, how you relate to other people. So the culture of a home really, really, really matters. But what is culture? Here's a definition of culture. Culture is the combination of what you create and what you allow. What you create and what you allow. If you didn't write that down, you need to. Because this works in business, on a football team, as a coach, as a teacher, as a parent. Culture is the combination of what you create and what you allow. I cannot tell you how many places you can walk into a restaurant and know immediately what the culture of that place is. Immediately. Because of what they've allowed. With filth, with customer service. I can walk into a home when the people's guards are down, and I can immediately know what the culture of the marriage is, the home is. I know because of what we allow. So the natural leaning, if we're not intentional with culture, then we will drift and end up with a culture that we've allowed and not something we created. And you don't want that. Today is about creating an intentional culture in your home. Again, not perfect. No one is. No one. But you can have the family and home you always wanted. But it's gonna come back to culture and how intentional we want to be. So your family culture is the combination of your habits, traditions, purpose, values, beliefs, and choices. Your family culture is the combination of your habits, traditions, purpose, values, beliefs, and choices. Let that sink in just for a minute. And then we're gonna read Proverbs 24:3. Here it is, Proverbs 24:3. Do you want me to go back to that? All right, go back. I'm just treating this like a leadership lesson. Go back, all right, here we go. Family culture is the combination of your family's habits, traditions, purpose, values, beliefs, and choices. Habits, traditions, purpose, values, beliefs, and choices. Now I've gotta move on. Proverbs 24:3. Through skillful and godly wisdom, this is our theme verse for this series. Through skillful and godly wisdom, a house, a life, a home, a family is built. And by understanding, it is established on a good foundation. Last week, we ended the Sermon on the Mount, the Summer on the Mount series, talking about foundations. And today we're narrowing in and zeroing in on the foundation specifically of a family. I want that. I don't know about you, but that's what I want for my family and my home. So very quickly, for my remaining time, we're gonna just quickly go through five factors of a godly family culture. Five factors of a godly family culture. Number one is this: your habits shape your family culture. Your habits shape your family culture. What are some habits? Habits are things like how you speak to each other. Have you ever been out to eat with a couple and over the weirdest, dumbest things, the husband will just snap at his wife and you kind of go, whoa, if you're doing that over her accidentally taking your fork, what are you doing at home? You guys know what I'm talking about? You've been in those settings where you just see glimpses of like, that's how you talk to each other? These are evidences. These are things in our home life that we know are habits that we're forming. Habits of name calling, all these different things. Mandy and I decided before we got married that we would create a culture in our home to where we would never, ever, ever call each other names, or we would never raise our voice in front of our kids, ever. And we were talking the other day, we don't have a perfect marriage. We'll talk about some stuff next week. But we've never done those things. Our kids have never seen us call each other names or raise our voices at each other in the home. It's not, if you're in here today, go, well, my kids are in here and they just heard you say that, so thanks. It's not that. The norm is to go into what we allow, right? But today's a new day with a new start, and you can decide the habits based on your study of scripture of what culture you want to have. So it's how do we speak to each other? Another thing in the house is work ethic. A huge thing that I've mentioned before in sermons, growing up, I have two other brothers, and in our home, my dad, my parents made this very clear rule. They said this: if you start something, you're going to finish it. We don't quit around here. Woodwards finish what they start. And I can't tell you, I played almost every sport you can imagine, and there were several of those sports in the middle of the season that I wanted to quit. I begged. The coach is mean. There were classes I want to get out of. The teacher's unfair to me, you know, all that stuff. And my parents would go, don't care. You're gonna finish what you start. You're gonna finish the season. My oldest son, Aiden, his last year of football, I mean, he was called to ministry, and he just said, Dad, I wanna spend more time in the church. His junior year, actually, in the middle of his junior year, I just don't wanna play football. It's the middle of the season. He goes, but I know, Woodward's finish what we start. So if I finish this season strong, will you think about not making me play next year? I said, I don't even have to think about it because of what you just said. You finish this season, you don't need to play next year. We finish what we start. So work ethic, how we talk to each other, a culture of excellence in our homes, habits of eating together, meals together. How many meals do you want to spend a week? Attending church together. What does your church involvement look like? These are all habits that can form our culture. Number two, the second factor, your rhythm frames your family culture. Your rhythm or schedule frames your family culture. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21 says, live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Now, this next line is important. Make the best use of your time. Despite all of the difficulties of these days, don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know to be the will of God. Make the best use of your time in a godly way. according to God's principles. This is how we create healthy rhythms, godly rhythms in our family's lives. So here's a couple questions to ponder. How are you making the best use of your time with your family according to God's standards? How does your schedule or family rhythm serve God first and foremost? How does it serve God? Meaning, what does your family life revolve around? If someone that didn't know you were a Christian, if they watched your family for 2 or 3 weeks in a row, what would they say the number one thing is that your family revolves around? What would it be? And it may not be evil things, but they become evil when they become ultimate. There's one thing that our family should revolve around first and foremost, and it's what Deuteronomy 6 said that I read at the beginning, talking about when they get up in the morning, when they go to bed at night. Our kids know, no matter how busy life gets with sports and travel and all these different things, those things will go away. But one day, it's just gonna be us and God, because he's at the center. He's at the center of our rhythm and our schedules in life. Ecclesiastes 3:1-2. For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. Mandy and I, again, we have 4 kids, and there was a season of our lives where all 4 kids went to different schools because of how their ages fell, different schools, and all 4 of them were in multiple extracurricular activities. And it was also when we were first becoming the senior pastors. And I remember us sitting down at our dining room table, looking at each other, kind of going, hey, my name's Dustin, what's your name? You know, kind of thing. And we're looking at each other going, what are our lives right now? And we had to step back and go, okay, we can call this a season, a crazy season all we want, but we're gonna make sure this season ends because this can't be the new normal. So what are we going to ensure? How are we going to ensure that this is a season that will end? So every Sunday night, what we would do is we would meet together every Sunday night and look at the entire schedule for the week. We would coordinate who's picking who up from class and or school and sports, when we would be eating together, how the kids are still gonna be able to get to youth ministry, how they're gonna be able to get to church stuff, because we're not gonna sacrifice church for sports. We're just not. That's not what we do in our home. Again, I'm not trying to put judgment on anybody, but these were the things we decided. And we had to meet every Sunday night for 2 years deciding, how are we going to do this? Because we want a culture we're creating, not something we're allowing, all right? So it's important. We have to look at the rhythms of our family, be conscious of it, and don't be a victim of it. I also think this is interesting before I go to number 3. I think it's interesting. I've seen this for all the almost, 19 years I've been in ministry now. One of the things I've noticed over the years is that when people overextend themselves in life, what's the first thing they have a tendency to cut back on? Church. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard people say, hey, Pastor Dustin, there's so much going on out there. I'm just not going to be able to come as often as I want to on Sundays. I'm gonna have to pull back from something. Isn't it interesting? Again, I'm not keeping tabs. I'm saying there are seasons. I just said all of that, but I want you to think through something. Don't let your first knee-jerk reaction be to pull back from the house of God when life gets busy. I understand there are situations and there are times, and a lot of people, there are some people that have gone really all in with church and they can pull back on a few things, but I'm telling you, don't let that be your first response. The enemy wants to remove you as much as he can from the flock, because we become much easier prey away from everyone else. Number 3, traditions enhance your family culture. Defining factor number 2, traditions enhance your family culture. What are the traditions? These are simple. Some of these are just not even spiritual, but they're just going to help you enhance your family culture. What are the silly traditions that you grew up with, that you loved, that you intentionally create with your home today? Right? It can be photos of the first day of school. We saw tons of those on Facebook and social media this last week. Those are amazing. Birthdays. One of our traditions, again, because of how I was raised, when it's our kid's birthday, they get a birthday breakfast. So I asked them the night before, what's your birthday breakfast? It's, well, I want two boys donuts, or I want waffles, or I want this. And I'm always hoping it's gonna be go buy something instead of make it. I'll make it, but it's like, you know, it's like, okay, but it's a tradition. When they come downstairs, there's gonna be their birthday breakfast. We go big on holidays. We just do. We have a blast with holidays. Vacations can be a tradition. Where you go, what you do, how you do them. It's important though for your kids to be able to say, these are just the things we do. They have to have a sense of we, right? Our family, this is our unit. They can be silly things, fun things, spiritual things. One of our silly things is this. So we go on vacation every year to Gulf Shores, Alabama, except this year. We went on that cruise I was telling you. But every year, so about 10 years ago, we were walking outside of this souvenir store called Souvenir City. And we were walking out, and it was just the three older kids at that time. And there was this little, you know, fake ship on the side of the building, and there are these cannons sticking out. And Mandy just goes, hey, Avery, Aiden, Asher, run over there real quick and just jump up there and let's take a picture of you real quick. And so I wanna show you what ended up happening every year. And this also shows the evolution of the iPhone. There's Aslan as a toddler, she's coming to the picture. And we started doing this silly tradition every single year. And if we missed one year and our kids were actually crying in the back of the car on the way to the airport, this was from a year and a half ago in the summer, but every year we did this. They're young adults now, but Avery's gonna be 21 and next summer, she's gonna go, when are we gonna take our Souvenir City photo? Because that's what we do and we just laugh. We post about it on social media. These can be silly things, but again, your kids need to be able to say, this is just what we do. Are you with me today here and in North? All right, Number four, your belief system is foundational to your family culture. Your belief system is foundational to your family culture. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all things, for it determines the course of your life. Heart in this passage literally means what you believe. This is saying guard what you believe above all else. Because what you believe determines the course of your life. If someone came up to you and said, what do you believe about God and Christianity? We need to be able to have some foundational things of what we believe, and it all comes from the Word of God. What we believe comes from this. And from this, what we see, this talks about itself. In the book of Psalms, it calls it the lamp that lights our path. In Hebrews, it says, this is the sword of the spirit that defeats the spirit of the enemy. It also says that it's the milk. The Bible calls it the milk that nourishes our soul. It calls it the mirror that reflects who we really are. It calls it the fire that burns away the sin and evil inside of us. And it also calls it the hammer that can knock down walls of rebellion. It's the seed that's planted in us that will reproduce hope and life. And the truth is, you need what's in the Word of God, and your kids need what's in the Word of God. Do you guys believe that today? We need to know the Word of God. It's why when we do things like masterclasses and alpha and small groups and Bible studies, we're trying to create more avenues than just Sunday morning so we can get the Word of God to sink deep into our hearts. You need this to not just be a book. You need this to be the living Word of God. Your kids need to know what God says about them, the truth about who they are, because we live in a world that's going to tell them the world's definition of who they are, and they've got to know who God says. We need the Word of God. The fifth defining factor is this: your values direct your family culture. Your values direct your family culture. What do you value? John Maxwell, the great leadership author and speaker, said this: your core values are the deeply held beliefs that authentically describe your soul. What are your, as an individual, what are your core values that define your soul? This is what I value most. What is it? There's so many things in scripture, so many different ways we could take them. We have core values for our church. If you're a part of a business, most likely there's core values in that business, and the family can't be any different. Your family has to have core values to where your kids know if they show up to that party, if they go to this place, if they're put in a situation where they can easily be compromised, they need to know this is what Woodwards do. This is what your family does. This is what we value. And if I do that, I'm breaking the value system. It's not just what my parents are telling me. It's something we all came together and decided. This is what we value. So every week in this series, you're gonna have homework. Is that cool? Homework. You're like, my kids already have so much. I don't need homework. Yeah, you do. You need homework. So here it is. Hopefully you got one of these on the way in here and at North. If you didn't, we'll have our team. You can get these on the way out. Every week, we're gonna have something that you can work on with your family. This has to do with values, vision. It's interactive. It actually will help you come up with your vision statement for your family. There's a template on the back. There's ideas on the front. There's examples of values. In our home, we believe in. What matters most to us is we strive to live by. We want to pass on the values of. As a family, we commit to. Starting this week, we will take these steps to build a culture of love and faith in our home. I'm telling you, whatever your family dynamic is, if you're single in here, don't throw this away. You need values. So sit at your table by yourself and say, long before other people are added to this family, they're gonna know what I value when I meet them, right? Whatever your, if you're a single mom, get your kids together. Single dad, get your kids together. You're married, whatever the situation is. If you have an unbelieving spouse, just ask, say, is there any way that you would just be a part of what we're doing? Just be a part of this. Whether you believe it or not, the kids need a good value system. And get together and go through this and just tell the kids. Parents, one of the best things you can do, if you know if you've overstepped with yelling, name calling, whatever it might be in all these different categories, the best thing you can do is look at your kids and go, you know what? I think I've dropped the ball one too many times. Would you guys forgive me? Your kids, I was a youth pastor for years. The standout moment in kids' lives are the moments their parents humble themselves and apologize. I'm telling you, and just say, all we're gonna do from this point on, we're gonna do our best. And we're gonna commit to these things and we're gonna watch what God can do in our family. Our teenagers are gonna be going through a similar series on Tuesday nights. Your kids are gonna be prepared for this stuff. I think it can be a lot of fun. So this is your homework, values. Today, week one, here and at North, is about creating a godly culture in your home. Next week is marriage, then parenting. Then we're gonna be preaching to singles, and then we're gonna end with talking about how to build a legacy that lasts for generations in your home. I wanna pray with you today that God would bless you right where you are. Your family that's here, maybe family that's at home. And I'm gonna pray that God would bless you this week, your conversations as we do our homework. And I'm believing that if you commit to coming to every week of this series, taking this homework seriously, I believe that you're gonna immediately start to see some miraculous things that God wants to do in your home. Do you guys believe that today? Awesome, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. And God, I pray for every family, every marriage, every different dynamic of family there is. Now we know your design, we know your definition, and we know the bullseye of what kind of culture that you want us to create. God, we thank you for being with us today. We pray that you at your hand would be on every week of this series, and may our homes be stronger every day because we're taking the culture of the home seriously. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.